You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. It's Monday morning, December 28th, 2020. And welcome back into the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. On today's episode, we are going to talk a little about the big baseball news from this morning, really happening late last night with the Rays trading Blake Snell to the Padres. Plus, a big free agent coming over from the KBO, Kim Ha-sung. He has gotten on a flight to the U.S., apparently, and the Padres is one of the teams in the mix that may be signing him today or tomorrow. He has reportedly on his way to the U.S. to get a physical with a major league team. He's been in talks about five-year deals, one of the best players in the KBO, 25-year-old shortstop. We'll talk about him a little bit as well. And then coming up after the break, we are going to continue the countdown of the top 10 Orioles moves of the last decade. Remember back last week, we talked about number four on the list, the Orioles acquiring Mark Trumbo via trade. Today, we're going to talk about a waiver claim the Orioles made for a pitcher early in this decade that turned out to be big for years to come. So that's all coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast, which is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order of those delicious protein bars over at BuiltBar.com. So, of course, we got to talk about it. The Blake Snell trade that was made last night. And, you know, there were rumblings over the last month or two that after the playoffs ended, the Rays lost in the World Series to the Dodgers, that the Rays would deal Blake Snell. And, you know, he's been their ace. He was the American League Cy Young Award winner back in 2018. You know, he made 11 starts this year, 3.24 ERA. And we saw the last thing that happened to him was him getting pulled too early in the World Series and the Dodgers coming back to win that game and win it all. And, you know, the talk was that he would be sent over to a different team because the Rays essentially are going to continue to cost cut as they have done for years and as they're going to continue to do. And Blake Snell, who is signed through 2023, so he's still got 3 years left on his five-year $50 million contract. And so, you know, it wasn't time that the Rays felt like they weren't going to re-sign him again right away and were trading him for the last year of his deal. This is a deal he signed with Tampa Bay, an extension, and that he still had 3 years left on. And the Rays, who just went to the World Series, you got to feel like are a winning team. But, you know, this is different than some of the guys they've traded in the past because, you know, they've traded guys before they have to give them that initial contract. This time the Rays gave Snell a contract and waited it out a couple years, and then they trade him to the Padres. The full trade, it's four young guys coming back to Tampa Bay in the deal. Now, to be fair to the Rays, they did get a pretty big haul in this trade. The headliner is Luis Patino. He is the San Diego Padres' number three ranked prospect. He is their number two pitching prospect. Patino, a 21-year-old right-handed pitcher who is probably going to be good to go, major league ready for the Rays in 2021. He did pitch in the big leagues with the Padres in 2020. He made 11 appearances, one start, 10 out of the bullpen. He threw 17 and a third big league innings this year, had a 5.19 ERA. 21 Ks was really good. 14 walks was not so good. They're still working on the control, but he's got elite level stuff from the right side, and he projects to be a starter for the Rays down the road. So he's going to, you know, be added right into that rotation, really, to start this year for Tampa. They also get the catcher Francisco Mejia, who was the headliner in the deal a couple years ago, coming over from Cleveland to San Diego in the Brad Hand trade. Mejia has been in the big leagues now for a couple years, kind of back and forth with the Padres. He has graduated from prospect status, but he's now 25 years old, switch hitting catcher who has spent, you know, some back and forth time in the big league since 2017 with both Cleveland and San Diego. He really struggled in limited appearances this year with the Padres. 2020 stats, 17 games, 42 plate appearances. He was just 3-for-39 at the dish. That's an .077 average with a home run, a double, a single, and a couple RBIs. Solid defensive catcher. You know, not a big power guy, but he's got a good bat. The Rays, they were going to try to find that bat. And Mejia, another guy, you know, the Rays' only catcher on their 40-man roster is Mike Zunino. So Mejia and Zunino will go into 2021 as the Rays' catchers. We'll see if he can figure it out in Tampa. And then two younger prospects coming over as well in the deal from the Padres. San Diego's number 7th-ranked prospect, the right-handed pitcher Cole Wilcox, is coming over in the deal. San Diego took him in the 3rd round of the 2020 draft, right-hander out of Georgia, who actually I felt was a pretty good steal for San Diego. There were talks of Wilcox potentially being a first-round pick this year. He fell to the 3rd round. He's 21 years old. He's still a few years away, but a really good pitching prospect for the Rays to get. And then they also got San Diego's number 14th-ranked prospect, the catcher Blake Hunt, who was a competitive balance round, second-round pick back in 2017 by San Diego. He made it to high A in 2019 and had a pretty good season at the dish and behind the plate. And so he will add catching depth to this Rays team as well. So two catchers, two pitchers, two of the 4 guys will be in the majors next year. But it is Blake Snell who goes over to San Diego. And now you look at this Padres team, a team that went to the playoffs to challenge the Dodgers in the 2nd round this year. They add Blake Snell. They're potentially adding Kim Ha-Song, the shortstop from the Kiwoom Heroes of the KBO, who would probably play second base for that team. Things are looking up for the Padres. They're going to be the sexy pick next year in the National League. Of course, they're still going to be in the Dodgers division, the defending 10 years of NLS champs and the defending World Series champions in 2020, but those are going to be some good battles between the Dodgers and the Padres next year, especially now that they add another ace to that team. And you remember, if this team's a little healthier, they traded for Mike Clevinger last year, but Clevinger getting Tommy John surgery, he's going to miss all of 2021. But you get to 2022, they'll have Clevinger back. They'll have Blake Snell in there. You're thinking their number one prospect, Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed pitcher, will be there. And then you know you add those guys to what San Diego already has in the guys like Denilson Lamet and others in that rotation. And this Padres team, Tatis, Machado, Hosmer, looks to be pretty good going forward as the Rays, again, continue to not want to spend money and to cut payroll, even though they came oh so close to winning it all last season. But knowing the Rays, they'll still be there. They'll find other options. It's just, if you're a Rays fan, how do you handle seeing your ace be pulled from the game too early in the World Series and then be traded the next offseason? So we'll keep our eye on further transactions, the Kim Ha-Song news as well, but Blake Snell sent over to the Padres. But we turn our attention back to the Orioles and to a list we've been compiling of the Orioles' top 10 moves and transactions of the last decade. Back on Friday, we talked about number 4 on the list. It was the Orioles' trade when they sent Steve Clevinger to the Mariners for Mark Trumbo in that big deal that helped the Orioles in 2016. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about a waiver claim the Orioles made back in November of 2011. Got themselves a relief pitcher who ended up being huge for the next 7 years in Baltimore. We talk about that, the number 3 move on our list, coming up after the break. Hey, we finally got some baseball news here in this offseason, but we know it's still football season as college football heading into the bowl season and big matchups pretty much every day this week in the bowl games, including the playoff coming up this Friday. Also got the NFL regular season finishing up with the playoff picture becoming clearer and clearer. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. If you're looking to place a wager today, of course, Monday Night Football here coming up tonight. The Bills and the Patriots in New England to finish off week 16. The betonline.ag line for this game is the Buffalo Bills -7. Looking at this Bills team trying to secure the number 2 seed in the AFC versus the Patriots. They were knocked out of the playoffs last week. Maybe thinking the Bills could run away with this one as they are favored by 7. On the betonline.ag betting line. But don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That's at betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And today's episode of the Locked On Orioles podcast is also brought to you by Built Bar, the new and improved Built Bar with the 6 new flavors, including lemon, almond, cheesecake, and carrot cake, just to name a few. Still got the OG flavors there, peanut butter, banana bread, salted caramel, double chocolate, among others. But Built Bar's 100% covered in chocolate, and it makes you feel like you're eating a candy bar, but that's the thing. Built Bars are still healthy, great for the health-conscious person. They are low-calorie, low-sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Just take a look at the coconut almond bar. It's got 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, and just 5 grams of net sugar. So if you're interested in a delicious and healthy protein bar, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. So Connor Newcomb back here with you on the Locked On Orioles podcast, as today we continue to count down our list of the Orioles' top 10 moves and transactions of the last decade. And today we get to number 3 on the list. We teased it a little bit before the break. It was a waiver claim that the Orioles made on November 2nd of 2011. They claimed the right-handed pitcher Darren O'Day off waivers from the Texas Rangers. Now, at the time, you know, it looked like a solid pickup for the Orioles, a team that, you know, was coming off another losing season in 2011, despite a fantastic September down the stretch there. You know, it wasn't known if the Orioles were going to be a winning team. And for O'Day, he was coming off a pretty disappointing 2011 season with Texas, which is why he had been waived. He had spent a lot of the year in the minors that year. He'd only made 16 big league appearances and had a 5.40 ERA. And so Texas, the 28-year-old O'Day, felt like they weren't going to get much out of him any longer. And they waived him, and the Orioles claimed him. And, you know, even at the time of the move, before O'Day started to have the success that he did, this looked like a pretty good move from the Orioles, because the Submariner O'Day had had a lot of success earlier in his career. Now, you know, you look back to how he got to the big leagues. He pitched at the University of Florida and was not drafted coming out of UF after 4 solid years there. But he did get a contract, as he was signed by the Angels in May of 2006 to get a chance. And it worked out for LA incredibly well. By 2008, an undrafted free agent signing had made it to the big leagues at age 25. And he was, you know, a solid run-of-the-mill league average reliever that year. He pitched in 30 games and had a 4.57 ERA. But, you know, that next year in 2009 is when he kind of showed that not only could he get guys out at the big leagues, but he was going to be a good big league reliever, as LA outrighted him off of the 40-man roster, and he was still in the organization. And the Mets took a stab at him. The Mets drafted him in the Rule 5 draft in 2008 in December. And he makes the Mets, obviously. You know, they're trying to keep him. And he pitches in 4 games, 3 scoreless innings out of the Mets bullpen to start 2009. And at that point, the Rangers scooped him up from the Mets in April of 2009. Mets let him loose, and the Rangers got him. So now Texas has him, and this is when he really turns into an elite reliever. He sticks with Texas for the rest of that 2019 season, and his overall stats in 2019, 68 relief appearances, 58 and two-thirds innings, and a 1.84 ERA, 56 Ks to just 18 walks. He's pretty much an elite reliever. Then he backs it up in 2010. 72 games out of the Rangers bullpen in 2010, a 2.03 ERA in 62 innings. A huge part of that Texas team in 2010 that eventually went to the World Series. Now, he did struggle in the postseason that year, had a rough World Series. He allowed 3 runs over 2 innings in 4 appearances in the World Series when Texas lost to the Giants that year. But he had still had an incredible regular season. And then he came back and just had that bad year in 2011, and the Rangers let him go, not really looking back at what he had done with them in 2009 and 2010. And the Orioles saw that and felt like 16 games in 2011 was an anomaly, as opposed to an incredibly successful 140 games over his past previous two seasons. Just really a bad job by Texas of letting him go. So the Orioles scoop him up, and they put the 29-year-old O'Day in the bullpen in 2012. And we, of course, know what the Orioles did in close games and when leading after seven and the incredible number that they had in 2012 that helped them to the postseason. Darren O'Day, a huge part why. I mean, he was a seventh/eighth inning guy. You know, him and Pedro Strop and Brian Mattis were kind of the guys that got the ball to Jim Johnson in the ninth. But O'Day was the best out of all those relievers that would pitch before Jim Johnson in the ninth inning. 2012 with Baltimore, 69 appearances out of the bullpen, 67 innings, a 2.28 ERA. He had 69 Ks to just 14 walks that year for Darren O'Day. Of course, he also appeared in the postseason. He was phenomenal. He pitched two scoreless innings in the wild card game in the win over Texas, and then he pitched in four of the five games in the ALDS, five scoreless innings, did not allow a hit, just allowed one base runner in five innings. All combined, seven scoreless postseason innings in 2012 for O'Day. And it basically solidified himself as the Orioles' setup man. Comes back in 2013, 68 more games, 62 innings, a 2.18 ERA. 2014, 68 more games this year. I mean, the ERA goes down even further, and the strikeouts go up. A 1.7 ERA and a career-high 73 strikeouts for O'Day, 9.6 Ks per nine that season. He goes into 2015 after, you know, we have to say he did struggle a little bit in the playoffs in 2014. You know, he gave up a run in the only inning he pitched in the ALDS, and then he pitched in three games against Kansas City in the ALCS and gave up three runs in an inning and two-thirds. But he came back in 2015, and he turned in, you know, at least his best first half and probably his best season. And he made the All-Star team in 2015, his first and only All-Star selection in 2015. Finished off 68 games, a career-best 1.52 ERA up to that point. 11.3 Ks per nine, shattered his previous high. And he really turned into a big-time strikeout pitcher over those 2 years. He came back in 2016 after getting a contract with the Orioles. You know, his contract was up after that incredible 2015 season. The Orioles, you couldn't let him walk. And they gave him a pretty solid contract for both sides. He signs a four-year, $31 million extension with the Orioles in December of 2015. But 2016 was really the first time he had faced some injuries. And he was only able to pitch in 34 games. He did have a 3.77 ERA. But he responded 2017, 64 games out of the bullpen, 3.43 ERA. And then 2018, 20 more games out of the Oriole bullpen, 3.60 ERA, but got a quad injury and went on the injured list and was out for the season. And the Orioles actually included him in the trade to the Braves. And July 31st, 2018, they sent Kevin Gausman and O'Day to the Braves in that deal that got him Brett Cumberland, Giancarlo Encarnacion, Evan Phillips, and Bruce Zimmerman. And O'Day was done for the 2018 season, but he was included in that trade. And of course, since then, you know, he pitched well for Atlanta down the stretch in 2019 when he returned from injury, and then was fantastic for the Braves this year. 19 appearances out of the bullpen, a 1.10 ERA for the Braves in 2020. He's still got it now at age 38 for O'Day, and should be back in the bigs with the Braves next season, or at least with whomever wants to bring him in next year, because he's still been effective. But you look at what O'Day did with the Orioles, his final numbers with Baltimore, he spent seven seasons with the O's. He pitched in 391 games out of the Oriole bullpen. He did come up with 19 saves. You know, he was always there to fill in, you know, as a closer, whether Jim Johnson was needed a day of rest or Zach Britton needed some rest, or, you know, one of them was maybe on the injured list. So he did get the 19 saves. He pitched in 374 and a third innings, ended up 10.2 Ks per nine, just 2.5 walks per nine, and again, a 2.40 ERA with Baltimore in 391 relief appearances. And, you know, I know he's not a dominant starter, he wasn't a closer, and wasn't a big-time hitter, but when you think back to a November of 2011 waiver claim, that's how the Orioles got him from the Rangers, and what they got was their most consistent reliever for the next seven seasons, essentially, to give up nothing to get a guy like Darren O'Day, who was so effective for the O's. And in the end, You know, he was part of the trade to Atlanta, and he helped get back a couple prospects, including Bruce Zimmerman, who we've seen already. But, you know, O'Day was hurt, and clearly Kevin Gausman was the headliner of that deal that went over to Atlanta. So the Orioles didn't get to really cash in on the value at the end because he was injured. But he still, you know, was able to play out 2.5 years of that 4-year contract, and they were able to trade him and didn't have to, you know, hold on to him being injured at the end there. And for 7 incredible years and those great numbers at 2.40 ERA and almost 400 bullpen appearances, got the Orioles out of so many jams over that time. And, you know, was there for the Orioles really from the beginning to the end of their reign of being a good team in the American League. You know, he comes over for the start of 2012, and then he's traded at the 2018 deadline when the Orioles finally decided to fully rebuild it. And he was there the whole time and just a reliable arm out of the bullpen. It was always fun to see him come out and throw submarine and be such a, again, reliable is the word for Darren O'Day. But he was fantastic in an Oriole uniform, and that is why he comes in at number 3 on the list of the Orioles' top 10 moves of the last decade. He'll always be one of my favorite Orioles to watch out of the bullpen. He was a great clubhouse guy as well for the O's. And you know, a lot of people love Darren O'Day being in an Oriole uniform. And you know, he's been with Atlanta the last couple of years, and he's pitched well. And, you know, he showed in 2020 that he can still do it. And hopefully the Braves bring him back, or someone brings him in for 2021, and he continues to get a big role out of a bullpen. Because even at 38, you know, he's got less wear and tear on that arm because of the submarine delivery, and he is still getting guys out, as he is a free agent right now, but somebody's going to scoop him up on a 1-year deal at some point this year. But again, that is number 3 on the list. We got number 1 and number 2 still coming at you over the next couple of weeks. When we get to number 2 on the list, might be sometime next week, it's actually going to be 3 moves that the Orioles made in the offseason early in the year of 2012. 3 moves to acquire 3 starting pitchers, but they all kind of combine into leading the Orioles back to prominence in the 2012 season. So we'll talk about that on this list coming up next week. But coming up later this week, again, we're 3 episodes a week here on the pod. We'll be back with you on Wednesday. We're going to talk about a minor move that the Orioles made last week. Nick Chufo, a former first-round pick of the Rays, a catcher who the Orioles signed on a minor league deal last week. We're going to get to know him a little better. He was very highly regarded in the Rays system. He did make it to the big leagues a couple times, but it never really works out. So we're going to talk to someone who has watched Chufo play in the minors and the majors, and talk about, you know, what went wrong for him and how he can maybe turn it around in an Oriole uniform. So that's going to be coming up here on Wednesday. But until then, if you're looking for another pod to listen to, maybe something that'll help you get a little bit of money in your pocket here around this holiday season. Betting on sports, you know, especially football and basketball at the moment, it doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. You can go check it out, Locked On Bets. Check it out wherever you listen to this podcast. Lee Sterling over there on the Locked On Bets podcast, a daily pod, about 15 minutes, get you betting advice about 3 or 4 games a day. They are on fire. They've had a winning day every single day since the podcast started a few weeks back. But that'll help you get a little money in your pocket if you are into placing a wager on some games here this winter. But here on Locked On Orioles, we will be back with you on Wednesday. Until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.